You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
Let's take it south of the border, Mexico City, and bring in the president of the World Boxing Council, Mr. Mauricio Sulaiman. How are you today, sir? Mauricio? No. No.
Hello, hello, hello.
All right. Mauricio, how are you, sir?
Fine, Pedro. How are you, my dear friend?
Fine, man. Did you kiss mama for me this morning?
Absolutely. As always.
All right. Thank you so much, man. So how's she doing?
She's doing great. She's waiting for the two-week grace after the vaccine, the second vaccine, and she's going to start doing a little gatherings with her friends. It's been way too long.
You know, Larry Merchant is moving. You know, he's 90 years old. He's moving from Santa Monica, I won't say what street, but to the beach down there in L.A. So he's moving right now. He's 90 years old. He had the vaccine, and he went out to a boxing meeting about a week and a half ago. He had a great time. So it looks like the world is going to come back to normal slowly but surely.
Well, I had dinner with him in Los Angeles. A night before the Arreola-Ruiz fight, we had a little gathering at the Palm with the old friends of boxing, and he looked great. Larry Merchant looked great and happy, and the world is turning, my friend.
Yeah, he told me about it, and he likes you. He liked Daddy. And speaking of Daddy, I had a kick out of Jose Sulaiman the other day because, you know, the other day, the only time I don't drink. Everybody knows I don't drink. Everybody in the World Boxing Council and around the world of boxing knows I'm not a drinker. But when they tried to pull me off that boat in Malaga, Spain, after they gave me that cigar, you know, Spider Bynum said he took the Cuban cigar. He's laughing. He gave me a Cuban cigar. He said, "How do you smoke a cigar?" He goes, "Smoke it like just take a big long drag and suck it in." And I said, "Okay." So I took this big long drag and sucked it in, and I was laying on the floor of the boat. My head was spinning all around. I couldn't believe it, this and that. So your father walks past me, and he looks down at me. He says, "Pedro, are you okay?" I said, "No, Godfather, I'm not okay anyway." He asked me later, "Were you drinking?" I said, no, Spider Bynum drugged me. He gave me the cigar. He told me to inhale the cigar. They had me on the pier for 45 minutes. The entire part, they had buses. You know, buses that brought us there? Charter buses that brought us to the pier. We had to take a cab back because I was in no condition to get on the bus. Everybody thought I was drinking. I wasn't drinking. Bottom line is, I don't drink. That was my little WBC story for the day. Now, last night, Brandon Figueroa captured the WBC crown in a WBA-WBC unification match. Pretty thrilling match there, Mr. Figueroa.
Yes, yes. It was a wonderful action-packed fight. Figueroa, very aggressive, moving forward, landing solid punches and taking punches. And that was a masterful hook to the body that knocked out the previously undefeated Neri, who had been champion in bantamweight, now in super bantamweight, and he lost the title. And we have a new champion, a very proud Figueroa, who is a role model in society, a very nice kid.
Okay. Now, we had a fantastic event last week. 73,000 people turned out, of course, in Dallas, Texas, for Canelo Alvarez, the king of boxing, turning back Billy Joe Saunders. Wow, 73,000 people. That was an indoor record for the United States as far as boxing crowds were concerned.
Yes, that's a long-standing record who belonged to Muhammad Ali and Spinks at the Superdome, and it was very exciting to see such an event. As I said, the world is turning, and it was great to see that it was a boxing match which featured the first real sporting or entertainment event with a full capacity crowd and such a great atmosphere. And it was a tremendous fight also. So it was a demonstration of why Canelo is considered the pound for pound. And it was finally, he got to be recognized by the people. Now he can feel proud and happy.
You know, I think he knows where his stature is in boxing. I think he realizes he is the pound for pound king in boxing. He's not conceited about it. I mean, I've been following him for a few years in different conventions and things like that. We'll see him at the fights, but he's probably the most humble guy that I've come in contact with in the upper echelons of boxing, especially Mexican boxers, because for the most part, and I don't want to name names, but we like to party. Roberto Duran and guys like that, and he's part Mexican, Roberto, part Panamanian, part Mexican. But Canelo doesn't party.
No, he doesn't party, and he's very disciplined. Right after the fights, he goes back to the gym. Now he fell in love with golf, and it's just keeping him always active and in shape, never gains weight. So he's guaranteeing a long-lasting career when you have such discipline and dedication. He doesn't take all the... When you party, like the ones that you mentioned and the many more that we know, it takes years from your ring life. So he's guaranteeing a good 6-7 more years in the ring if he continues in this path.
You know, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that 12-round fight, because we talked about this before, the damage incurred in the 13th, the 14th, the 15th round, it wasn't for anybody but bloodthirsty savages, because those 13th, the 14th, 15th round, you had nothing left.
Yeah, it was dramatic. It was brutal. Of course, for the fans, it was entertaining and very exciting to see two people without anything left, just trying to survive with so much fatigue and dehydration. But, it was dramatic, but it took a long, strong price.
But that's not me. That's not what I like. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see guys get destroyed. I don't need to see that. I want to see clean, athletic contests. In other words, when a guy, like the fight with Canelo and Billy Joe Saunders, the fight was over. I mean, once the fight's no longer competitive, the fight should be stopped. That's why we have the potential residual effects from boxing, was the fact that fights don't get stopped when they should. And, you know, I was ragging about this earlier, Mauricio, but the UFC, those guys never stop fights. They just let those guys go out there and get battered.
You know, I was just watching my nephew showed me a knockout. Andres showed me the knockout of, I think it was yesterday. You know, the fighter falls down, and those blows when the fighter is down are so damaging. They keep punching until the referee has to tackle them, and it's so dangerous. It's that's thing. One thing I absolutely do not like. Of course, the rules permit to hit.
Well, obviously, it's not working for me either. And you know, at the end of the day, people call it entertainment, but the residual effects. Oh, we lost Mauricio? Let's try to get Mauricio back there on Skype. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. You know, it only happens when you're, like, going live from one country to another. It never happens when they call calling next door, but it happens from country to country. So we'll try to get Mauricio Sulaiman back on the line here. Of course, he is the president of the World Boxing Council. He was celebrating the fact that we had 73,000 people paid attendance last weekend, of course, Dallas, Texas, for the big fight between Canelo Alvarez and Billy Joe Saunders. Now, one of the blights on that fight was the fact that my homies were throwing blows in the stands, you know, like that one fat guy they showed on TV and during the highlights. Listen, man, if you're going to fight and you're going to take off your shirt, don't look like that, okay? And then don't get beat up. Them girls slapped you around. You see that thing? Did anybody else see that videotape on TV where the guy was getting beat up by the girls? The girls are socking them up there in the studio, up in the Dallas Stadium. I mean, listen, you're going to take off your shirt, you're going to get macho. Don't get beat up by women, man. I mean, get beat up by a man. At least go out like a star. Anyway, bottom line is that's your YouTube claim for fame. We're back with the president of the World Boxing Council, Mauricio Sulaiman. Mauricio, I got to ask you, what's happening with Ryan Garcia? How's he feeling?
Well, I believe that he's on the way to recovery. We have been monitoring and trying to be close to him, and we will fully support him on this path. He took a brave step. It was very good that he decided to attend his issues, his problems, and he's a role model and an example to others that need to attend their brain health, their mental health, whenever there's a situation. There's always a solution. And many times we don't see it, and we need to have someone to help us to get out of that horrible nightmare that is the situation that go into your mind.
You know, it's a couple of people I know have questioned his intestinal fortitude. They tried to say that, you know, maybe he doesn't lack the guts to do this, and then this was the same person that gets anxiety attacks himself. So I said to him, you're not a coward and you get anxiety attacks. Well, what's up with that? So I guess he's seeing things from a different perspective now. But Ryan Garcia, do we expect him back in the ring in 2021?
I don't know. He showed that he was already training. But it is up to him, and we will be there for whenever he's ready to go back into the ring. The WBC will support him. But it's most important that he attends. This is a long time situation he has had, so it is not a quick recovery. It needs a process. And it's like when you're an alcoholic, maybe in 2 weeks you feel you are already there, but you need months to really finish a process of healing.
Okay. No doubt about that, Mauricio. Mauricio, when you look at the World Boxing Council right now and the fact that your father's looking down on us all, they just opened a gym in Sinaloa, Mexico, under his name, didn't they?
Yes, it was a very humbling experience to be down there in Mazatlán. The gym is beautiful, and it has so many pictures of my father. And it has three rings, so many punching bags. And that's where the future champs will start their career, their path in boxing.
When he envisioned and put together the WBC back in the 60s, do you think he thought it would be lasting through the 21st century like it has, being the number one sanctioning body?
Yes, because he worked very hard, and he always promoted unity and teamwork. The team of people from all over the world that work every single day to try to make boxing better and safer. It's the team that he ensembled, and the new blood that has been coming in, they all share the same principle and values. So I am sure that the WBC will be here for as long as boxing exists.
Okay. WBC President Mauricio Sulaiman, we will keep him until after the break and talk to him a few short more minutes. The bottom line is you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Of course, you can always catch out the latest with the World Boxing Council by going to their website, WBCBoxing.com. Tower of Power to the break. Ain't nothing stopping us now.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
40 minutes past the hour, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. South of the border, of course, we go with the WBC president, Mr. Mauricio Sulaiman. Mauricio, in 1984, God, I'm dating myself, but in 1984, I came in number 13 in the country when it came to the Olympic trials. So what I'm trying to tell you is, the Olympics were hot in my day. I mean, Mark Breland won the gold medal that year. Tyrell Biggs was a heavyweight champion. I mean, there was all kinds of stars. You had Meldrick Taylor. I can keep going on. Pernell Whitaker. What's happening with Olympic boxing now? Why is it not jumping off the table? Why is it?
Well, it has been a horrible 2 decades of very bad administration by AIBA, which led to the Olympic Committee to withdraw recognition from them. And now there is a complete chaos. There's no rule, there's no order, there's no one to look after the Olympic, the amateur boxing. So I'm very, very concerned because in Tokyo, the selection, of course, due to the pandemic, many competitions could not take place. So they're going to have the rankings from 2 years ago, those will be the ones representing several of the countries. And these will be the lowest number of boxers ever for the USA. Only 2 men will participate and 4 women. And Mexico only has 1 female fighter going to the Olympics. So this is dramatic. It's an absolute concern. And we expect that amateur boxing resolves its situation in the immediate future. Otherwise, it's going to be a problem for professional boxing because the grassroots and the new talent comes from the great structure of amateur boxing.
You know, Mauricio, I concur with you 100% on that, but, you know, the fact that 2 Olympic boxers are going to the Olympic Games, that's an indictment of USA Boxing.
I don't believe it's USA Boxing's fault.
Okay.
I believe it is the International Federation, AIBA, the way they led wrongly for the last two decades. It hurt the amateur programs all over the world. There has been so much corruption and bad performance of the judges, and he just got kidnapped. Amateur boxing was kidnapped, and now it's suffering the consequences. I have seen USA Boxing trying to do good activity and with a limited situation, and then the pandemic hit. But I think USA Boxing and other countries are trying to do what is best, but they were not able to do it. So now it's in the aftermath, we have to regroup and see how amateur boxing can be saved.
Yeah, but amateur boxing, they had pros fighting in the Olympics. I mean, what happened to the sanctity, the purity of the amateur game? And the Olympics was supposed to be about the best amateurs from this country versus the best amateurs from that country. So you're trying to tell me I've got to fight Vitaly Klitschko?
That's exactly the problem. That's why we initiated a huge campaign against what was happening with AIBA. So how can you expect professionals to go into the Olympic Games that would kill amateur boxing? So this is a moment where it's a time for all the reforms, and there is no going to be what they wanted to do to have the big profile professionals. That is not going to happen. So we are expecting that a new process will begin after these Olympic Games, and hopefully there will be a new era for amateur boxing.
Without a doubt, the amateur boxing, of course, the amateur boxing is the plant that feeds the seedling, the seed that feeds the professional ranks, no doubt about that. Now, we're talking about the World Heavyweight Championship. Is that going to happen August the 14th in Dubai? Are they going to, Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua going to do this or what?
Well, I just saw a posting by Tyson Fury saying it's done. And that should mean that it's a reality. They've been talking for a long time. Hopefully it is. And that would be the greatest fight in a long, long time, at least from the popularity and expectations. This is something that will have the world watching like Ali Frazier did in 1971.
Okay, I'll go along with you on that. But the bottom line is the fight's going to be in Dubai. That means there's not going to be too many people going to this fight. I mean, I don't want to say this. Oh, yeah, I will say it. Dubai's a hellhole. I never want to go back to Dubai. It was terrible. I couldn't believe it. It was like 120 degrees in the wintertime, Mauricio.
Well, this is the world. This is the world. That's why it's a world championship. It's
I get it.
A new
I get it. It was so hot there. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. They told me this is wintertime. That's what they said to me. That's how they got me to go to Dubai. They told me it was winter in Dubai. I said, cool. I went over there. It was like 112 degrees. So that was
incredible.
So it's now, what are we looking for as far as the WBC 135-pound situation is concerned? We've got Linares and Haney are going to go at it pretty soon. That's going to be on the zone, right?
Yes, Linares Haney on May 29th from Las Vegas. That should be a sensational fight and proves that the tournament that we started with the creation of the franchise designation has proven to bring great fights and great activity. So we have Linares, and then we have Teofimo with Cambosas and at the end of June. So we have Fortuna, who has been, unfortunately, out of so many fights due to others' problems. But I expect to have great activity in the lightweight division this year.
Who is Nordin Orbali?
He is a WBC bantamweight champion who is going to be defending against Donaire in the mandatory title defense. May 29, California, sensational match.
Nordin, I've seen a couple of films of him on tape. He looks good on YouTube. And, of course, the Filipino Flash, man, he's from Northern California. Newark, California is where where Nonito lives, him and his wife Rachel. Now, this is going to go. This is for the WBC 118 pound title. So he's going to make 118 at the age of 38.
118, and his last fight, he did 118, and he almost won against Inoue, who was a heavy favorite. So that put him back in the map, and he's a mandatory contender. It should be a great match.
Okay. Why? I try to explain this to people that why is it we start off with 105-pound weight class, we go to 108 pounds and 112 pounds. Can you explain to people the size difference between those weight classes? Because I try to tell them, and they tell me it's only 3 pounds. They don't realize there's a physical size mass difference.
Well, weight is the most important factor in boxing. And when you have a difference, when you have to lose weight to remain in a division, or you have to move up to the next division giving weight advantage, that's why the WBC implemented so many different weight categories, intermediate divisions, to make boxing safer and create opportunities for more fighters. So 3 pounds might be nothing for me or for you, Pedro, but you're smaller. But 3 pounds for a straw weight is a lot of weight.
Listen.
1 pound, when you give up, when you lose 1 pound, just try losing a pound from one day to another and you will see what it is.
No, listen, one time I went to the scale, I dried out and the scale was wrong. We had a scale in my room and it was wrong. It said 139 pounds. I went down, I was on the junior welterweight limit. I took off my underwear the whole 9 yards. I stepped on the scale. I was 139 and 3/4 pounds. That was the hardest 3/4 pounds I ever took off in my life.
Absolutely.
I mean, I only want to tell you what I had to do that, but I was running around the hotel with sweatshirts on. I went in the shower. An hour and a half later, I made the weight, but that was just 3/4 of a pound, so imagine taking off a lot of weight. So anyway, Mauricio, kiss mama for me. Anything else in the world of WBC you want to get across? Has Oscar Valdez got a date yet?
No, I don't think so, but we'll be watching the administration of all the divisions, and we'll have for next week, a lot of information for you, my dear Pedro.
Thank you, my brother. Kiss mama for me, because I missed her on Mother's Day, but give her a big kiss for me, okay?
Thank you so much. Have a great Sunday.
The great Mauricio Sulaiman. My man, he takes good care of me, and he sponsors the show as well. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, this is the hour number 2 coming to you on Sunday 11 a.m. Pacific time for 2 hours.